You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order.
It's a MEATEATER podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Steve Ranella, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Hayden Samick, Corinne Schneider, Logan Dove, Corey Calkins, and Alyssa Smith. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Meat Eater Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at what I consider to be the worst game of trivia we've ever played, which is based on player performance. In episode 287, which was our second ever game of trivia, Steve won with four correct answers. In second place was a tie between Corinne, Clay, and Giannis with two correct answers. The average score in episode 287 was 2, and we actually had 5 questions where not a single person got the right answer. Now, I'm not blaming the competitors for this poor performance. I'm blaming myself. I simply made that round too hard and have corrected for it.
What was the Shelby index on that one?
Well, that was before we had it, so I don't recall what it was. But in the 45 episodes since, we've had 0 games where the winner got 4 correct answers and just 2 games where the winner got 5.
You should ask us a question that everyone missed and see if we got smarter.
You know, I've thought about it, but the problem is some folks weren't here for that episode. Other ones were. So I've considered the idea, but I thought it would be, one, I don't think it'd be real fun for the audience. And two, I think it'd be unfair.
No, I'm just saying, like, not part of the game, just to warm things up.
Sure.
What do you feel? What are you shooting for? What do you feel is the perfect winning score?
I'm 7 or 8. I'm very satisfied if it's between 6 and 9. If somebody gets a 10, which has happened 3 times, I maybe made that round too easy. If somebody gets a 5, I made it too difficult.
Yeah, I got 10 once.
You did. I got 10 twice.
So 6 to 9, I think, is the sweet spot. I've done my job well if that's the winning score. We have some housekeeping to get to. Before we play today's game, on episode 3...
That was a stat?
That was a stat. The worst trivia game ever. 4 correct answers, 1. The average
feel like
was
a
2.
Stat. Like, normally your stats would have involved some sort of math and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was not like an observation.
Our stat compiling is going through a major overhaul right now. We're going to have some great stats coming up the next few months. But I'll be honest
with you
right now.
Are you hiring an intern to, like, keep track of stats?
No. But no, I sent a listener.
That wasn't a stat. They were like...
That was a factoid.
Yes.
A stat is like a trend.
Factoid is being kind. Yeah. It's an observation.
All right.
If you're like, one time, someone got 4.
You'll have to settle for an observation on this episode. We've got some good stuff coming in the future. Now, in episode 392, I asked what state has the most mountains with an elevation of 14,000 feet. Mm-hmm.
Brody, you're going to have some feedback on this housekeeping that doesn't directly pertain to you, but I'm going to ask you to hold it until the end, okay? Now, when I read the answers, Steve and Corinne gave me hell about how I pronounce the state where Denver is the capital. Play the clip, Phil. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve.
She's like, the more I think about it.
Steve saying Colorado. Maggie saying Alaska. Corey saying Colorado. Hayden saying Colorado. Chester saying Colorado. Marge saying Colorado. And Corinne saying Colorado. They got it. The correct answer is Colorado.
Can you maybe, when you go through the edit, Phil, can you maybe have him say Colorado?
Yeah, I was just going to say. Do you mind? That.
Here's one you can
Jaguar.
Use. Colorado.
Got it.
Yep. You just fill it. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, in 2018, Channel 9 NBC News covered this very subject. They interviewed Rich Sandoval, a linguist from Metro State University in Denver, who said there are five common pronunciations, but two are the most popular. Play the clip, Phil.
But the dominant pronunciations highlight Colorado's clash between natives and newcomers.
Locals will say, well, of course it's Colorado. That's how I've always said it. I grew up with Colorado. That's what we say. It sounds right. It's our state. We have the right to decide and to tell you how to say it. You're the new ones, right?
Newcomers are more likely to hew closer to the Spanish pronunciation.
Colorado, you don't say avocado, right? So it should be Colorado, like avocado, like tostado, right?
Sandoval says that's a larger trend in language practiced by people who think they're better educated. He sees this newer pronunciation squeezing out the most recent native one.
I don't know if the Colorado thing will ever disappear because it is a marker of insider status. But at the same time, for those locals who fashion themselves as being highly educated and that kind of thing, there's going to be some pressure on them to say Colorado. We'll see what happens in the future.
Now, Sandoval,
that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Now, Sandoval went on to say that it's not his job as a linguist to decide which version is right. He's more interested in why people think they're right. So you could use the version that me and the locals use, Colorado, or you could use the version that Steve and elitist tourists use, Colorado.
Now, normally, I feel like Spencer says a lot of words wrong, but I think he's got it right here.
Okay, now, Brody, what are your bona fides on this subject?
Well, I lived there forever.
Uh-huh. How long is forever?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
25 years.
And during that
like
20
that.
Years, you were often guiding folks from out of state, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say the local said versus what you would hear
it's
clients
It's not something
say.
I ever paid any attention to. Okay. It was not like, oh, that's wrong. Like, if Steve said Colorado, I don't even know that it would.
Well, what's John Denver say?
Rocky Mountain High.
Colorado.
No, not Colorado.
Oh, yes, he does. Let's play the clip, Phil.
Rocky Mountain High.
This is a big area of contention with Oregon as well. I can tell you from the East Coast, if you say Oregon.
Well, that's
and
wrong.
And Illinois and Missouri.
Oregon is wrong.
What about that Flying Burrito Brothers song? That, hey, Colorado, it's not so long ago. That's a famous.
I think that whatever John Denver says goes. And if you play that, I'll go with that.
Next episode, we will find out how John Denver says.
I think he might say it like the locals, man.
Denver's
he was a local.
Call him up.
I ran into him one time in a bar in Jackson, Wyoming. Oh. Wow, was he hammered.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know how he passed away, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Is it plane wreck?
Yeah, plane wreck off Big Sur.
Him and the Big Bopper.
He died in Big Sur.
No, he died in a plane wreck. Him and
Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Well, all kinds of people. So, like Ted Stevens, I think.
I don't know that person.
Stevie Ray Vaughan? Something.
Jose, what have you?
Let's just start the show, man.
And with that, we are on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
I was going to change that to suck it, Brody.
That'd be improper.
Question one. The topic is conservation. And as always, this is multiple choice. And this first great question comes to us via Riley Nelson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What famous writer's son once served as a fish and game commissioner in Idaho? Is it Ernest Hemingway, Dr. Seuss, Charles Dickens, or William Faulkner? Brody knew before I even gave the choices.
Son of a bitch, did he really?
What famous writer's son once served as a fish and game commissioner in Idaho? Your choices are Ernest Hemingway, Dr. Seuss, Charles Dickens, or William Faulkner. This person's son served as a fish and game commissioner in Idaho. Is anybody else as confident as Brody is? No.
No. Could you read them one more time?
Ernest Hemingway, Dr. Seuss, Charles Dickens, or William Faulkner. Steve, how confident are you feeling?
I mean, I'm not that confident. And now I'm rattled for the whole game because Brody looked all cocky.
He may not even know it. He was just doing that.
No, I know.
For the optics. Does everybody have an answer?
Cocky.
See, now I'm rattled for the whole game.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Hemingway, Logan saying Faulkner, Hayden saying Dr. Seuss, Brody saying Hemingway, Alyssa saying Faulkner, Corinne saying Hemingway. She crossed out the other three choices. And she wrote out Corey saying Hemingway, and Seth saying Hemingway. The correct answer is Ernest Hemingway.
It seemed too obvious.
It did seem too obvious. Yeah, it seemed too obvious. I'm with you.
Yeah, he shot himself there.
Yeah, he lived in Sun Valley, I'm pretty sure.
Jack Hadley Hemingway was a fly fisherman and novelist, just like his dad, Ernest. Jack served as an Idaho Fish and Game Commissioner from 1971 to 1977. He was instrumental in introducing catch and release regulations on some of the state's best trout waters.
I think his granddaughter might live here.
His grandson writes children's books now.
How do you know that?
Yeah, you know what? I used to have, years ago here in town, I had a girlfriend who hung out with like a grandkid or something like that. Yeah, I remember he had a zebra hide rug I was pretty jealous of. Go on.
Question two. The topic is cooking. Maine is famous for this type of hot dog, which shares its name with a saltwater fish. Maine is famous for this type of hot dog, which shares its name with a saltwater fish. Brody with the quickest answer in the room. Brody, do you know this one?
I'm 70%.
Okay. 70% sure. Maine is famous for this type of hot dog, which shares its name with a saltwater fish. Logan also had a quick answer. You know this one, Logan?
I think I might actually know this one.
Logan's got it. Rest of the room is pretty stumped.
Did we get the Shelby Index?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Shelby Index for this game of trivia is a 3, so our winner should get 6. It's a tougher batch of questions. Steve, how you doing?
Not good, man. I mean, I got that last one.
Do you have a saltwater fish written down?
See, I got something totally stupid written down.
Hayden, scribbling.
Is it like a vernacular for the saltwater fish?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying red, Logan saying red snapper, Hayden saying kipper, Brody saying red snapper, Alyssa saying halibut, Corinne saying corn dog, Corey saying cod dog, Seth saying redfish. The correct answer is red snapper.
I get it.
We had it.
No.
You did not get it. Just but we had Logan and Brody get it right.
I don't get it just for red?
No.
Well, think about it. That's the thing people call them.
Red snapper.
Red drum, too, would be called.
Well, I was
red.
Actually thinking the same and reds.
Well,
I think I've heard them called red hots as well. Is that a
thing? I don't know.
I've heard that.
Brody had it?
That's right.
Brody had it. The red snapper name is based on the hot dog's neon appearance, which comes from food coloring, and the audible snap that happens with every bite, which comes from the natural casings. If you want to learn how to make these delicious sausages, then go to themeateater.com and check out Wade Trung's recipe called Venison Red Snapper Hot Dogs.
My buddy of mine used to be really into charcuterie and sausage making. We made hot dogs together a couple of times, and he was saying the biggest challenge with making a home hot dog is the snap.
Well, check
which
out
is like
recipe.
The how, you know, it's the density in which it's packed. He said like you can't get the snap.
Do you like red snappers?
I don't know. I mean, I've had plenty of hot dogs that were dyed real red. I don't know if that's it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't feel like sitting here watching Brody win again.
Question 3.
We're only 2 questions in, man.
The topic is hunting. Good. This next great question comes to us via Matthew Stewart. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia at themeateater.com. Represented by the symbol W on the periodic table, this element is commonly used in shotgun pellets for turkey hunters. Represented by the symbol W on the periodic table, this element is commonly used in shotgun pellets for turkey hunters. A lot of thinking going on in the room. Folks are picturing a periodic table in their head. You got this one, Seth?
No, I just wrote down a metal that's used in turkey shot shells.
Represented by the symbol W. Bro, do you know this one?
No, but...
But he knows turkey shells. Does everyone have an answer?
You can narrow it down.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying tungsten. Logan saying tungsten, tungsten, tungsten. Alyssa saying lead. Corinne saying tungsten, tungsten, tungsten. They got it. The correct answer is tungsten. Other shotgun pellet elements include lead, which is represented by PB on the periodic table, bismuth, which is represented by BI, and copper, which is represented by CU. The advantage of shooting tungsten is that it's extremely heavy and creates better penetration. Our favorite turkey loads are Federal Premium's Third Degree, which gives a portion of their sales from these shells to the National Wild Turkey Federation. Question four, the topic is public lands. Name two of the four states that contain the Mojave Desert. Name two of the four states that contain the Mojave Desert. Brody, with a very quick answer, the perfect game is going to continue, I imagine.
We'll see.
Looking for two of the four states that contain the Mojave Desert.
That's kind of a softball right there, bro.
Who was it? Jed? Jed Smith?
What about him?
We'll talk about it afterwards.
Does he have a relation to softballs or the Mojave Desert?
We'll talk about it later.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking for two of the four states.
If we list three and...
You get it wrong if you list three. Yeah. That's what happens.
Let's say you list 50.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying California, Nevada. Logan saying Colorado, Arizona. Hayden saying Arizona, Nevada. Brody saying Nevada, California. Alyssa saying New Mexico, Arizona. Corinne saying California, Nevada. Corey, California, Nevada. Seth saying California, Arizona. The four states are California, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona. So most of the room got it. A few folks, though, had some other states that weren't listed. The name Mojave means beside the water in the Mojave tribe's native language. The desert is home to 98 species of mammals and 230 species of birds. The Mojave is 20 million acres, with most of it being located in California. Now, Brody, what do you got?
Steve will tell the story better than me.
Let's hear it, Steve.
You mean that he was the first Euro-American arrive to California by an overland route?
Had some rough travels through there.
Oh, they had a hell of a time through the Mojave Desert, sucking on rocks.
To get liquid?
Try to get yourself
salad. Didn't he, make it to a monastery or something in California?
Yeah, then they confiscated his beavers and all kinds of trouble.
Question five. The topic is fishing. What dictator had carp, his favorite food, stocked in the moats around his palace? What dictator had carp, his favorite food, stocked in the moats around his palace? Nobody with an answer quite yet.
If I don't spell it right, that's not an issue.
I'm going to start taking away points when folks ask if they need to spell it right. You never have to spell it right unless I say you do, which has happened one time in the history of Meat Eater Trivia. So no, Hayden.
I was just making sure this wasn't the second time.
Spell it right. Steve, how you feel about this?
Low, but not bad.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Brody has the perfect game going.
The only reason I feel okay, I don't think I got it, but I don't think Brody got it.
Oh, okay. A lot of erasing. Seth without an answer.
Nope.
Seth, can you just write down a dictator?
Yeah, but I ain't going to be the right one.
Okay. Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Don't say mine unless it's right. I don't want people to think that I put that down.
We have Logan saying, what's that say, Logan? We have Hayden saying Kim Jong-il.
That's good.
Brody saying Henry VIII. Alyssa without an answer. Corinne saying Pol Pot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Corey saying Hugo Chavez. Seth without an answer. And we will say Steve. Steve said Saddam Hussein. Steve got it. The correct answer.
Let me tell you how I know that. Saddam Hussein. Let me tell you how I know that.
Let's hear it.
No kidding.
Rourke Denver told me about a lot about catching the carp.
That's so funny.
When they were in Baghdad, he told me a lot about catching the carp around the palace. And he said a lot of guys were, it was like game on. Like a lot of dudes were like, sweet, I can finally fish the carp.
And it didn't matter what they would catch. They just called them Saddam's bass over there. Like there was a number of different species. A lot of it was different types of carp, but everyone just called them Saddam's bass.
God, it feels good because I tied up with Brody.
Eric Maddox, the army interrogator who tracked down Saddam, said that his love of fish is actually what got him caught. Here's what happened. Maddox talked to Saddam's chef, who told him that grilled carp was the dictator's favorite meal. Maddox then got intel that Saddam had a personal pond stocked with carp, which Maddox went to. At the pond, Maddox interviewed a fisherman who told him where Saddam's bodyguard was hiding. That bodyguard led him to Saddam's bunker, and the rest is history.
Spider hole. Remember that? Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
If you have a picture of you catching Saddam's bass, send it to me. I'll post it on Instagram. I'd like to see that. Phil, we're halfway.
Oh, you. Well, there's, I think in Rourke's book, there's a picture of Rourke with one of Saddam's bass.
Oh.
Yeah,
Could you tell what it was specifically?
I'd have to go look.
Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yet to make it on the board, it's Alyssa Smith. 0 points.
That's rough, man.
First that time that's happened, score. And it has to be when Steve's here, so appreciate it, Spencer.
Yeah, ooh. We got annual reviews coming up. I know, you better right? be careful. Logan and Hayden have 2 points apiece. And then we have Seth, Corey, and Corinne with 3 points.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Good job.
And tied for first place are Brody Henderson and Steven Ranella.
Don't worry, Spencer's not giving me the answers this time, Steve.
Must be looking over my shoulder.
Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. Born in 2003 in Knoxville, Tennessee, Sport Dog was forged by a passionate group of hunters and dog trainers who intimately understood the challenges of the field and the special connection between hunters and their dogs. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter. Now, I've got two good buddies with what I would call really, really good waterfowl dogs. And here's one of those buddies, Max. Not the dog, but the buddy.
I've used that Sport Dog collar now in multiple different states, U.S. and Canada. Different temperatures, all the way to negative 20 degrees, and it just doesn't stop working. I'm a fan for life.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/MEATEATER to learn more. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth tournaments. turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day, and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at liquidiv.com.
Question 6. The topic is conservation. This is our Onyx listener question of the week, which was won by Sean Doherty. For sending this great question, Sean is going to get a 1-year premium subscription to Onyx. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send it to trivia at themeateater.com.
That comes loaded with all of Spencer's waypoints.
Not this winter. Now, sometimes referred to as toy deer, this is the only subspecies of whitetail that's listed as federally endangered in America. Brody and Steve in a competition for who can write the answer fastest and call it a tie. Sometimes referred to as toy deer, this is the only subspecies of whitetail that's listed as federally endangered in America. Hayden, you know this?
I'm having like the same problem that I had with Hemingway being the author. It seems too obvious. Mm,
okay.
Well, I thought you were going to say that problem where you get it wrong.
I'm also, yeah. Right.
Brody, did Saddam cross your mind?
No.
Okay.
No. Steve got it. Fair and square. He didn't. He got it.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Keys deer, Logan saying Keys deer, Hayden saying Coves deer,
Coos deer,
Brody saying Keys, Alyssa without an answer, Corinne without an answer, Corey saying Coos deer, and Seth saying Keys whitetail. They got it. Yeah. The correct answer is Key deer.
So you thought that never mind.
Wait, coos deer?
Yeah, but people were always hunting coos deer.
I thought there might be like some little population in like some corner or wherever where they were like, ones are...
Yeah, regionally endangered.
These are Jacob's
obviously
coos
we didn't
deer
know what the hell we were talking about. With
you. The key deer used to range across the Florida Keys, but is now only found on a few islands. They also happen
big piney,
to be
right?
The smallest... I don't know what the names are.
I think they have.
The islands. They also happen to be the smallest subspecies of whitetail in America, with bucks weighing about 65 pounds and standing just over 2 feet tall at the shoulder. Their population was lowest in the 1950s when just 25 remained, but today there are about 1,000 left.
Hmm.
Question 7. The topic is cooking. Pike Place Fish Market, which is famous for flying fish, is located in what American city?
Thank you,
I think the whole room got this one right.
On.
I may not even need to repeat
seriously?
That one was for me, Brody.
Pike Place Fish Market, which is famous for flying fish, is located in what American city? Does everybody have the answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Everybody got it right. The correct answer is Seattle. I'm guessing that'll be a more challenging question for our friends in the South and New England and Midwest. Understandably so, it was easy for this group of players. The Pike Place Fish Market is world-renowned for fishmongers who throw around fish prior to wrapping it. The market was near bankruptcy in the late 80s, but was saved by after appearing on Good Morning America. Tourists then came from all around to watch fish get hurled around the market, which now attracts 10,000 visitors per day in the summer.
Did you ever go watch them abuse those fish, Steve, when you lived there?
No, I didn't. But my friend, who is a commercial salmon fisherman, really hates it.
Yeah. Why?
Because he says we handle fish very gently. And he feels that it's like a It's like a black eye on the industry.
And disrespectful.
He said, yeah, he says, like, we don't, you know, when a fish is going in rigor, you don't straighten it. We never throw fish. So then you go down there and it's the consumer's one chance to look at the process and they're throwing fish around and he doesn't like it.
You sure certainly wouldn't see people tossing animals around for fun, right? Dead ones.
I could see them throwing
rabbits,
chicken around.
Chickens.
Yeah, I could see it yeah. throwing chicken. Listen, I'm not saying that I hold my buddy's viewpoint. I'm right. just saying that was my buddy's viewpoint on it. Ron Layton,
yeah.
you know him.
Yeah, yeah.
Question 8. The topic is deer camp. Now, this is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out at Spencer Newharth. I'll make it my most recent post.
What's the category?
Deer camp.
I didn't know that was a category.
It has been. This is a photo of me from the late 90s with the host of a PBS slapstick comedy show that taught outdoor skills. What was the name of that show?
Shit.
Again, this is a photo of me from the late 90s with the host of a PBS slapstick comedy show that taught outdoor skills. What was the name of that show? Corey knew this without even seeing the photo.
That's right.
Mrs. Frizzle.
Don't show Corey the photo.
No, I do. I kind of want to see it.
Now, Steve, this is like somewhere deep in your brain. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And I even know one of the words, I think, man.
Okay.
It's,
yeah.
Also, it's multiple words.
Did you watch
No. It's not. It's like, I don't want to talk too much about it, but there's like a thing. There's like a, it's not like an angel talking to me.
Mm.
It's like my homunculus a little bit. Well, I mean, last time I was here, I got visited by a divine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got information that came from outside of, oh no, I got it wrong though.
Spencer, you're so cute. Never mind. I was going to say the same thing.
It was wrong. It wasn't an angel.
Scratch that.
I've got no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know Spencer is such a little cutie pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, it's a photo of me from the late 90s with the host of a PBS slapstick comedy show that taught outdoor skills. Corey, is it what you thought it was going to be?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is anybody else as confident as Corey?
I think we might. Nope. Are we too old to know it?
Yeah. No. I don't think you're too
Actually,
old.
Actually, it's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like you're most primed to know this.
Is it 90s?
That picture was from the late 90s.
Yeah, a little late for me. I mean, oh no, I should know it. I know something about it.
Okay.
Still a great show.
Just start with someone. I'll show you mine, but don't say it unless it's right.
Is Corey the only one who's coming up with an answer? Brody is, Alyssa's writing? Okay.
I have no clue.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Logan without an answer. Hayden saying Ranger Rick.
That could
Brody
be Rick.
Brody without an answer. Alyssa saying Antique Roadshow. Corinne without an answer. Seth without an answer.
I kind of got it right.
Steve saying Red Scare.
Yeah, but I meant Red Green.
Red Scare. And Corey, who got it right, said the Red Green Show.
Do I get it with this?
I don't think you get it with Red Scare.
I think that sounds like some kind of Cold War.
Listen, I knew it was Red. Remember me saying I know part of the name? Yeah. I knew it was Red.
The Red Green Show had 300 episodes that ran from 1991 to 2006. It was about Red Green, the president of the Possum Lodge Men's Club, and his group of friends who always gave sage outdoor advice. This is what one television critic said of the show. Quote, think Bob Newhart in plaid, on acid, with a chainsaw, and you might come close to getting the essence of what made Red Green so enjoyable.
How did that encounter end up happening?
Oh, he came to, I think it was an Ace Hardware store in Sioux Falls, which is about an hour where I was from. And I watched every episode of Red Green, so we went to see him.
What does that have to do with deer camp?
Oh, it was like it was a show that taught, like, I'm going to show you how to take a ceiling fan and make a boat motor. He would do things like that. Or I'm going to show you how to clean your gun. And then as he's handling the gun, it accidentally goes off. That was like the whole Red Green shtick. He'd be very helpful if you were trying to catch a
Obviously,
mouse,
deer
per se.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff that happens at deer camp. Just deer guns camp. Going off, motorboats
Phil,
with fans.
We have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Alyssa and Hayden, I'm so sorry, but you are no longer in the running. But we have Logan and Corinne with 4 points apiece, Seth and Corey with 5, and Steve and Brody with 6.
Okay.
Do you remember when I identified Hayden as an emerging
Dude, stop.
Threat?
Stop. This is my worst
flash in the
ever.
Pan.
Oh yeah.
Flash Barred in the pan.
On Friday.
One hit wonder.
Yeah, it's all about endurance here in the podcast.
Did he get his name? Not yet. Now, Corey, before we move on, did you watch Red Green a lot?
No, I never watched a single episode.
Oh, but you still knew it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one day I was looking up the Tom Green show and remembered seeing Red Green. And watched like a couple little like 5-minute skits and was like, oh yeah, this is cool. And it, you know, it stuck in my steel trap of a memory.
It's great. Question 9. The topic is wildlife. This next great question comes to us via Kevin Ramden. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What bird is featured on a standard Canadian $1 coin? What bird is featured on a standard Canadian $1 coin?
I just pulled ahead of Brody.
With the quickest answer.
I just pulled ahead of Brody.
Logan with the quick answer. Some other folks quick. Brody, though, it's not creative.
I lived real close to Canada, too.
I just pulled ahead of Brody.
He could see Russia from his house.
Is it hard to play like that?
It is. It's like it's like when I'm trying to get something done and my kids are screaming. It's a lot like that.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling you still might get it right. Does everybody have
Hold
an answer?
On.
Okay.
I need a little extra time since Steve was distracting me.
Steve, why do you know this one so well?
I'm not telling.
Okay. Not telling.
I'll tell you later.
He grew up in Michigan.
Nope.
Brody? Corey, you know this one?
I do.
You grew up in a state that borders Canada.
Yeah, I was like an hour and a half from Canada growing up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of these coins as a tip. They don't work too well
that
down
burns.
Here.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying loon. He nearly erased it on his sweatshirt from celebrating. Logan saying falcon. Hayden without an answer. Brody saying he's not letting me see it. Bald eagle.
Oh, no.
I like that, though. That's creative. Alyssa saying crane. Corinne saying golden eagle. Corey saying loon. Seth saying osprey. The correct answer is loon.
They call it. They call it a loony.
Canadian coins are often referred to as loonies and toonies. The standard $1 coin features a loon, which is why it's called a loony. The standard $2 coin features a polar bear, but Canadians combine the words two and loony to come up with toonie.
They're badass birds.
That's good analysis by Spencer there, man.
Phil, we have one question left. Give us a scoreboard update.
We have three players left in the game. Corey and Brody have 6 points, and Steve has 7.
All comes down
Corey.
To this one.
Good work, Corey.
Question 10. The topic is hunting. Name one of the three states with the most black bear entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Name one of the three states with the most black bear entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. One more time, who are the three players left, Phil?
Corey, Brody, and Steve.
And
Steve has 7, Brody and Corey have 6.
We need Steve to get this wrong, Brody and Corey to get it right, and we will go to overtime. Corey has never won a game of trivia. Have you been to overtime before?
No.
Okay, we could have a first. Steve, how confident are you? Okay.
Oh.
Brody, you got this one? Maybe.
We'll find out.
What's the question again? Say it one more time.
Name one of the three states with the most black bear entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Alaska, Logan saying Montana, Hayden saying Maine, Brody saying Pennsylvania, Alyssa saying Maine, Corinne saying Arkansas, Corey sang North Carolina. Seth sang Alaska.
Can I do something for bonus?
Let's hear it.
I think it's Pennsylvania, Alaska, and Maine.
North Carolina, I bet you it's it. Well, maybe not.
The three states are Alaska, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
Oh. Whoa. Whoa.
Wisconsin.
Wow. I won!
Steve has won by getting that one right. He finishes with 8 correct answers.
Wisconsin has a demanding lead on the rest of the country with 842 Boone and Crockett black bears.
Come on, hit me with that again.
Wisconsin has a demanding lead with 842 Boone and Crockett black bears. That's followed by Pennsylvania with 436, Alaska with 248,
no shit.
Minnesota with 243, Colorado and North Carolina with 208, and Arizona with 190.
Man. I won by the skin of my teeth.
Do you got to get your bears checked in Alaska? Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Like teeth and... Because I bet you a lot go un... There's probably a lot of big bears in Alaska.
You definitely not even... Depends on what GMU you're in, but there's GMUs where there's nothing you need to do.
Right.
You know?
This is why I make Doug Duren so mad when I say that the Boone and Crockett record book is more about like your culture than it is... the big critters being killed, because Wisconsin also leads the nation in Boone and Crockett entries for whitetails, but I doubt that that state solely has the most giant whitetails and the most giant black bears being killed. It's just like in their culture to be entering those things in a book where it may not be.
I don't know, man.
Like
there's
Alaska.
A lot of hunters entering a lot of animals, so it definitely shows a trend in the population of animals.
I would agree, but do you think
Alaska, you could have many Boone and Crockett bears that never, ever get registered.
Exactly.
But in some states, you know every bear that gets killed.
Exactly, like Pennsylvania.
Steve wins with 8 correct answers. What happens next is he gets to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
Last time I won, I did the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. Mm-hmm. This time, however, because we have at Meat Eater, we have a land access initiative fund.
We have some news on that, right?
Yeah, and we just drained it out because we participated in a big public land purchase. A couple of years ago, we did one in Maine. This year, we did one in Montana. And we just kind of sucked her dry. So in to help fill our land access initiative fund back up again, I'm going to donate my winnings this time on this distinct occasion of a win. I'm going to donate it to the Meat Eater Land Access Initiative.
And what did that most recent purchase get us? What happened with the Montana Land Access Fund?
Someone else gave the superlatives. It was a big chunk of land up in near Glacier. It's called, what's it called? Montana Outdoors? Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So former timberland that opens up a ton of access to national forest land, but also is a sizable chunk of land that will be forever made public, going forward. And it provided great access to stuff that would have been otherwise difficult to access.
Now, after the Maine project, you made a proclamation that nobody from Meat Eater would step foot on that piece of ground. Does that same thing stand
I said that, I didn't say that I couldn't prevent anyone from doing it, but I bet you that wound up being true.
Uh-huh.
On this one, I would happily say that I would, for whatever reason, I would be like, okay, I won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't want to say that anyone that works here won't go there, because I bet you they will.
You won't be mad if Hayden is there next fall.
No. But yeah. I would happily say, I would, in order for someone to say like, oh, you're just doing it because you blah, blah, blah. Like that it somehow motivated by personal desire to, you know, like to like, that's my favorite spot. So I'm going to take other people's money and put it toward that to reduce the appearance of a conflict of interest. Right. I would readily agree to not step foot on it.
$500 going to Meat Eater's Land Access Initiative. It's probably the first $500 put in there of the new year. Now, we have some sad news to deliver before we get out of here. About 2 weeks ago, we lost friend of the show, Ed Newman, at age 46. Ed is the man who built our Meat Eater Trivia Trophy, Meat Eater Trivia Championship plaque, and Meat Eater Chili Cook-Off Trophy. Ed passed away after an afternoon of hunting, which his family wanted to point out in the obituary because the outdoors were that important to him. Ed was fantastic to work with. You could tell he was incredibly passionate about teaching and all things hunting, fishing, and conservation. Genuinely, there wasn't a person better suited to take on these projects than Ed. So we're thankful we got to know Ed. Our thoughts are with his family, friends, and students, and we dedicate this episode of Meat Eater Trivia to him, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Thank you, Ed.
We'll be right back.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer. So much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order.